If you're looking for trouble, you're in the right place. But it's not quite the baddest biker bar in the investment world. It might be the most thankful family scuffle in Thanksgiving history. This is the Danger Zone. Yes, welcome to the Danger Zone on Money Life. It's where we get the latest take from the experts at New Constructs, where they bring together discounted cash flow analysis and forensic accounting to examine stocks and funds and ETFs in a way that most don't. They dig in at the footnotes level, work their way up, and they're looking for places where the numbers can be misleading. And if they're misleading and they work in your favor, well, that would make something attractive. But we normally focus on the things that are dangerous. But this week, well, it's right after the Thanksgiving holiday. And so although there are things that are dangerous, David Trainer, founder and president at New Constructs, he's got reasons to be thankful for some of them because, hey, they paid off. So yeah, we're talking dangerous stocks, but not necessarily the way we always do. We're talking about the ones he is thankful for. If you want to learn more about the ones that have worked out, also the ones that haven't, they're not shy about it. NewConstructs.com is where you go for more information. David Trainer, welcome back to Money Life.
It is good to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
So which danger zone pick are we particularly thankful for this year?
Sweet Green.
Sweet Green. It is ticker symbol SG. It has been in the danger zone before. And yeah, the stock has sucked more than a salad that doesn't even have any salad dressing. But that's kind of what Sweet Green sells, so maybe it shouldn't be a surprise. As you've said since the very beginning on Sweet Green, it's an overpriced stock when all they're really doing is giving you some lettuce.
Yeah, Chuck, and it's also, you know, a crowded space. There are a lot of other firms that have been doing this. I mean, I remember 25 years ago, every deli in New York City had basically a Sweet Green setup. You know, you pick a, you know, either spinach or romaine, and they would like put all the stuff in there and mix you a fresh salad. And it was inexpensive. And so, yeah, it's an expensive salad situation where there are cheaper salads that are just as good.
But it's also a situation where at any price, pretty much, this stock tastes bitter. What you've said from the very beginning is not just bad business model. You've said ridiculously overpriced. And the reason you're thankful for it is this stock has had the tar beaten out of it, but I think it's still, in your book, ridiculously overpriced, right?
Yeah, no, it's still really expensive, Chuck. It's effectively priced as if it's going to be the next Cava or better. So it's got to improve its margins to Cava levels while also growing revenue at 11% compounded annually for 15 years. So, you know, that seems 11% in the restaurant business compounded annually over a long period of time, that's big. And then while also getting margins up to Cava levels, that's what's priced into $7 a share, man. So like you got a lot of improvement and growth baked into this stock price.
Well, I'm laughing because the comparison here is Cava, which has also been in the danger zone, which you've also identified as a bad stock. You know, I've read the report. You could have looked at competitors and gone with like Red Robin, which has been in trouble for a long time. And Sweet Green has, you know, less return on invested capital than that too. But you picked Cava. So if they have to go that much to be as good as Cava, you're literally still going, that keeps you at the bottom of the barrel, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Cava is a very expensive stock, right? But the business model has improved. Like it's one where the business model for Cava is actually seems to be getting to a place where it's not a complete like joke business. You know, it has profits. It has a, you know, a decent return on capital. It's still terribly expensive, but the business model is working. It's still overpriced in a way that Sweetgreen's model business model is not working, in a way that Red Robin's business model has not worked, in a way that Shake Shack's business model has not worked, in a way that Cracker Barrel's business model is not working, in a way that Cheesecake Factory is not really working. So like Cava's, you know, at least landed in some somewhat marginal profitable territory. Sweet Green is still way behind.
I want to point out that as I was getting ready for Thanksgiving, I went to a mall here to pick up one thing I needed to work on the Thanksgiving food I was making. And in that mall, there is a Sweet Green, there is a Cava, there is a Shake Shack. It is like the Danger Zone's greatest hits of bad restaurants But now I know that I need to eat at Sweet Green and Shake Shack first, because they're likely to be out of business sooner than Cava if we're looking at this. In the case of Sweet Green, given where they're at, are they a zombie stock, and how overpriced is $7 a share?
$7 a share is overpriced by a lot. So yeah, I told you, to justify $7 a share, they've got to do that 11% compounded annual growth for 15 years and getting up to Cava level margins or return on capital of margins that are highly profitable, or a return on invested capital up 23%, which is, that's a big number. You look at those comps, there's not many firms that get up to 23. That puts them in Yum Brands and Roadhouse territory. So that's really expensive. The economic book value, the no growth value for Sweet Green, is negative $10 a share.
We said you are particularly thankful for Sweet Green because it's been a danger zone pick that has paid off. What we haven't talked to this point is just how good it's been as a short. So give us those details as best you can, please.
Yeah, Chuck, Sweet Green has really done well in terms of outperforming as a short. So it's down 80% while the S&P is up about 15. So that's 94% of outperformance. And so that's that. I think that's a pretty strong danger zone pick. We think it could still go lower, but it is still on the zombie stock list.
I know that we put it in the danger zone basically when it came out, and it became a zombie stock in March of 2023. And at the time, the stock was trading somewhere in the $15 per share range. And of course, it's now trading under seven. So yeah, we certainly have seen it take a pretty significant haircut. The flip side of that is you predicted bad things for this from the outset. Like, this was IPO, bad deal, don't do this, et cetera. And yet it's still here. Sweet Green has managed to survive. There's not stupid money risk because you don't see somebody coming in and buying it because the setup's bad enough that why wouldn't they just do it themselves or what have you. But is there a catalyst that typically puts a company like this on the outs? Like, you know, obviously something like a pandemic could do it, but that's not something you can forecast. Is when you see the bad food companies, is there something typically that is the catalyst?
You know, it's really tough, Chuck, to be completely honest with you. Like, I mean, we are dealing in a world where a lot of business would have gone bankrupt. But what some of these financiers like to do is swoop in with some debt and convertible debt, get shares at pennies on the dollar, save the business, see the stock go up because it has been saved and given debt, and then cash out on the stock. And they do this over and over. Carvana is a classic example where this has been going on. So typically, you know, a lot of these bad businesses we talk about, they go out of business because they run out of cash. They can't get anybody to give them more because no one's going to borrow, you know, lend money to a company that's losing money. That's used to be how it works. These days, the way stuff's going down, I can't tell you. It's hard to say because there are people out there that know that they can take advantage of these situations to make a quick buck.
Does a company like Sweet Green, in your opinion, benefit or hurt from things like the tariffs and inflation? Because on the one hand, yes, you can say, as you have, it's an overpriced salad. On the other hand, when people are not necessarily wanting to go out and spend a lot of money out on meals, it is cheaper than going out to, you know, a fancy restaurant. So are they benefiting or are they hurting because of what's been going on?
I think they're more hurting than they're benefiting, because salad is not necessarily considered a nice meal. It's a fancy salad. Like, it's the fanciest salad place. It's kind of been my impression when I've walked around some of these places. That's not real popular. I think that's part of why they're struggling. I mean, we're still seeing negative margins, big time free cash flow burn, and we're seeing negative return on capital. This business is not working in any way. And I don't, you know, whatever the environment, and I don't think it will.
And that's why Sweet Green, SG, well, again, thankful for it if you're David Trainer, not so thankful if you are an investor back in the danger zone. David, great stuff. We'll talk to you again next week.
It is great to be with you, Chuck. Thank you.
David Trainer is founder and president at New Constructs. Go to newconstructs.com for more information on the firm, to check out the most attractive and most dangerous stocks and more. And we'll be back with more of today's edition of Money Life right after this message.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.